You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
On weeks like this, Ben, I do not envy you people that go back to the film every week.
Yeah, it's been kind of rough. Oh, man. It's kind of like, when we was coaching, I saw something, you don't like on film or whatever. Just pick crap up and throw it across the room and get pissed off and get out of your system.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same method I take with this.
New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Jordan. Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners? Guys, what is up? Packer fans, welcome to another edition of Pack to the Future. I am your de facto host for the evening, Brian Fonfara, doing my best John Jameson impression. I don't think I could ever capture his true enthusiasm, but I'm trying. John dropped out on us last minute, but we still have Dusty, evilly Dusty. How's it going?
Going great, man. I mean, not amazing because of what happened this past week, but overall, yeah, man, life is good. We got some snow today. It's beautiful. Doing
nice.
Well.
Nice. Do you have Christmas decorations up yet?
We put our Christmas tree up 2 days ago, actually. Nice. That's all we got. Nothing else so far. But yeah, it's looking and feeling a lot like Christmas.
Nice. We've got all of ours up. We always do that weekend after Thanksgiving. So this place is freaking festive right now.
That's awesome.
Kris Kringle would be proud. All right. And while I am imitating John, we've got Ben Club imitating me. Ben, how's it going?
It's going good, man. It's going good. Even after the game on Sunday, finding ways to get stay upbeat. So overall, pretty good.
It's good. Well, Ben, your voice doesn't really sound like mine, but mine doesn't really sound like John's, so we'll get past it.
You need to sound more bored, Ben. Can you sound a little more bored, like you're above everyone, like you're better than people? Can you do that, Ben, to just really nail Brian's thing?
I'll give it my best shot.
Thanks, man.
All right. Yeah, if you could talk down to us a couple times, kind of father the situation, make sure that Dusty and I don't get too out of control, that'd be perfect.
Nice. Ruin everyone's fun, that kind of thing is what you really need to get to.
cool. Guys, this is week two of our new format on this show. So if you are expecting an entire episode in this one, no way. We split it up into two. So in this episode, we're going to be doing the coin toss segment as well as diving into all of your Twitter questions. Later this week, you'll hear the guest interview and we'll take a look ahead at the game against the Arizona Cardinals. Let's get this one underway, though. Before we hit the coin toss, I'm going to tell you about our sponsor, our friends over at Sioux City Jerky. Amazing, amazing jerky made in the USA. They have a great variety of Asian, Southwestern, even delicious bacon jerky, and a great flavor, Tundra Teriyaki, made just for us over at Pack to the Future. So you can try them out at SiouxCityJerky.com. Link in the description below. Christmas is coming up, and these would make an amazing stocking stuffer, especially their holiday gift packs, which some of my friends and family can be expecting next month. Hint, hint. So visit SiouxCityJerky.com today and try them out. Coin toss. Guys, Ben, I'm not sure. Have you ever done a coin toss segment before?
I have not. This is my first time.
Welcome. All right. To break this down, we've got three topics that we're going to debate, and you are going to be debating against Dusty, and you do not get to choose which side that you debate. It's going to be all up to the flip of a coin. So whether you believe it or not, you have to make the most compelling case that you can. I will award a winner at the end of each question and hopefully at the end of the entire segment. So without further ado, Ben, I'm going to flip the coin and you are going to answer first. Our first question revolves a conspiracy theory that's been going around Twitter that Aaron Rodgers is playing poorly on purpose to sabotage Mike McCarthy. I personally think that's a little far-fetched, but we're going to give the case for it against.
No one asked you, Brian.
No one asked me. I'm asking you guys. So, Ben, I'm going to flip this coin. If it's heads, you're going to say this is absolute poppycock. If it's tails, you're going to say that maybe Rodgers is sabotaging McCarthy. And it is tails, Ben. Welcome.
Dang. What? You know, fellas, you got to look at this from Aaron Rodgers' standpoint. I mean, he's playing for a coach who is ruining his the best time of his career. He should be in his prime. He should be hitting all cylinders. And Mike McCarthy, with his play calling abilities right now and what he's doing with the offense, not putting them in the best position to succeed. I mean, wouldn't you do the same thing to a coach who was making every game, every drive difficult for you as a quarterback? They've caused a lot of, or Mike McCarthy himself has caused a lot of things to go wrong with his offense so far this year. I wouldn't blame Aaron Rodgers if he did. Get some new life in there, try to get somebody new in there and get things going his way. So that's one of the hardest things to ever defend, but you know, that's just way it goes sometimes, right?
That's the way it goes. You did good. Dusty, it's pure poppycock.
It's poppycock, and Ben is Mr. Poppycock for arguing the point. How dare you, Ben? How dare you, sir? I mean, listen, man, I'm a fan of a good conspiracy theory, and it's certainly a fun thing to think about, but no, I mean, there's no way. With as much money as Aaron Rodgers makes, as big as he is to that, he could just go to Murphy and go, I don't like that guy, I don't want to play for him next year, and then still play his same year he always has, and then just assurances that he's not going to be there anymore. I believe Rodgers has that kind of power with the organization. I think if you look at kind of what's going on, I don't love what McCarthy has done this year. I think the offense, the scheme he's been running, I think has been fine. I don't think that's been an issue. I think some of his decision-making has been not great. But Rodgers has to take some of the blame on himself as well. I mean, and for whatever the reason, you know, he's coming off a broken collarbone. He missed most of last year. Maybe he doesn't quite trust that yet. He's playing with a bunch of young guys. He injured his knee. He hasn't been practicing a whole lot, so he doesn't have that same. He hasn't played himself into the same spot he normally is at this time of year. Kind of lethal assassin. There's a thousand different reasons why this offense is struggling, and Rodgers trying to sabotage McCarthy is like number 1,000,001 reason as to why this might be happening. So it's certainly fun to think about. There's a 0% chance that's what's happening, because if there is, the main thing is if there is, that'd be kind of a known thing, and there'd be revolt in the locker room. It wouldn't just be Rodgers, it'd be everybody, and I don't believe that's the case.
Dusty, you had me, but you said one thing that got me. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has that kind of pull where Mark Murphy would fire Mike McCarthy for him, no matter how this season went.
I was trying to sell it really big.
You tried. You tried. You know what? For that and the fact that Ben had a really tough flip of the coin, Ben, you get the point for round number one.
Yeah. Undefeated so far.
You're 1-0, man.
I like it.
This is what I'm going to say. For the coin toss stuff, I always get the short end of the stick as far as someone else getting pity. I'm fine with it because it's something to complain about. So just keep going to Brian. It's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
If it wasn't for pity, Dusty, you'd never lose and we wouldn't have an entertaining show.
I think that's a lie, but I will take it.
Come on.
Man, you know what? Like I said, all my Christmas decorations are up. I've got a good glass of scotch to my left. Like, I'm feeling nice. That's the one nice thing I'll say about you this year, Dusty. Just soak it in.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Brian.
Question two, Dusty. I'm going to you first. I want to know if we should be talking more about Mark Murphy for his role in how ugly things have gotten in Green Bay, for keeping coaches too long, for keeping GMs for too long, whatever. Should he be shouldering more of the blame for where we are right now? Heads, yes, Murphy should be being yelled at right now. Tails, no, he should be able to put his feet up in Aruba. It's tails. He does not deserve more blame.
I mean, he doesn't really. I mean, up until this year, this year the arrangement's been a little different with him kind of having the GM and the coach answer to him. Before that, it was Thompson was kind of calling the shots for a lot of that stuff. So, I mean, you can look and say, you know, the Packers don't actually have an owner, but he kind of – Murphy is kind of the de facto owner as far as how these roles play out. And – you look at what other owners do, and they're the ones who make these rash hiring, firing decisions. And they're the guys who run guys out of town, and they do this. And I think you get the loud owners that do that. I don't think that's absolutely true of the whole league. I think a lot of owners kind of sit back and they you know, they're involved with the team, but they're not involved overly so in day-to-day operations. And so, no, I mean, I think you hire the guys. I mean, we were talking about this before the show, not related to this at all, but I think what Murphy has done is he has hired guys that he kind of trusts, and he has Thompson in place, and he kind of trusts Thompson to kind of run the team from a football perspective. And I mean, Thompson did well with that. I mean, you can argue, you know, some of his draft stuff. I get that, but I don't think it's on Murphy. Now, at this point, if McCarthy makes it through this offseason, I think there's a case to be made that, yeah, he can be, just based on how the new structure is. But up until this point, no, I don't think Murphy deserves blame or criticism for this at all. At all.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Pointing my finger at the screen when I said that.
All right, Ben, he deserves more of the blame.
Yeah, I mean, look, it starts from the top down. And, you know, you want to look at the root cause of a problem, you go to the top, you make your way down the tree. And if you look at the problems, really started shortly after the Super Bowl, 2012, 2013. We couldn't beat the 49ers. We had some of the guys to get it all done. The coaching was all right. But then you progress a few years down the line. The team gets a little better in 14, and then 15 on, from personnel on the field to depth behind those positions to the coaching staff to even Ted Thompson, like, you know, we talked a little bit earlier, has made some questionable decisions in the organization as far as the draft and things like that. You know, why do we wait so long to get a new life in there at the general manager position? Gutekunst has done a pretty good job here in his first year. But it should have happened sooner. You know, you look at coaching changes that have happened. Took too long to happen. We got someone in there who would make the move to get some guys in there. There's just been a little bit of complacency throughout the organization. You know, we've making the playoffs every year, you know, 2010, 11, 12, and on, where we just, you know, felt like the organization got a little comfortable. And I blame that on the guy at the top. You know, we should have made these moves happen earlier, and we might be seeing a little bit more success on the field now from everything with the players and coaches and meshing together. So, yeah, I do think he deserves a little bit of the blame, and rightfully so.
Ben, those are really good points, and overall I agree with you. But Dusty appealed to my angry side really well.
Yeah, I knew it. That's what I did on purpose.
You brought up the idea that Mike McCarthy not be fired at the end of the year, and I'm like, damn, that's like actually a possibility. Oh, just got my blood boiling. I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, so you get the point because you know how to appeal to angry Brian. Congratulations, Dusty. All right, guys, in a press conference this week, Aaron Rodgers was talking about the possibility of making the playoffs, and he laid it out. All we have to do is beat Arizona and then Chicago and whoever else we're playing, win all five of these games, some of which are very tough, and then get some help. It's that simple. He had a little smirk at the end of it that said, I don't believe what I just said, but I gave you your soundbite. There you go. But since he brought that up, I want to know from you guys, do the Packers legitimately have a shot at making the playoffs this year, given where they are right now? So Ben, heads, they can make the playoffs. Tails, no way it's over. It's heads, Ben. You get to go positive here. They do have a shot.
Yeah, you know, I think they do. And when you look at a couple of – well, one team that comes to mind is the Giants back in 2007. You know, they had to have almost everything go right for them. Especially, you know, when it comes to playoffs, you have to win four games on the road, get the Super Bowl, beat an undefeated team. I mean, if the 07 Giants can scrap their way to a Super Bowl and win it, nonetheless, the same thing can happen with this team. Now, you know, like you said, a couple things have to happen. But, you know, when you look at the remaining schedule, Arizona, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, when you look at Arizona and Atlanta, those two games are off the bat, and they're at Lambeau, are two very winnable games. You go to Chicago. Chicago has a great defense, or a great football team right now. But there are flaws in their system. And I think if you look at film, if you look at the tape, they've exposed some of those flaws that they have in the Packers, I think, defensively especially, are up to the task at getting the win at Chicago, as Rodgers also said, a play for the one, you know, multiple times. The Jets, again, another very winnable game, and then you finish it out with Detroit at home at Lambeau Field. I really see the Packers winning out. Now, what everyone else does, it'll work itself out, but when you get to the playoffs, I think the Packers, again, match up. We've been, you know, the team has been in a lot of games. They've been in a lot of these games. You look at Los Angeles, they was in it. You look at, you know, even the Detroit game early on in the game, they was in the game. They really should have won that one. Even the game on Sunday, we're in position to win games. They just got to finish each game that they play. And but, you know, this isn't – if you look at the tape, there are a few things, but they're easily correctable things that the team could do to fix, such as minor things. And I think they'll get it all fit together and pull it out here at the end.
Bonus point for bringing up the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots. So, Dusty, you've got
even if they got the win at Lambeau and the NFC Championship game.
He lost his point, right?
You lost half your point for bringing that part up.
I had to. It's salt in the wound, but I had to be dead.
All right, Dusty.
He's still not over it.
He has an extra half point you have to beat.
Ben's right about the losses. I mean, so many of those. I mean, there's very few. I mean, the Vikings tie, obviously, that should be a Packers win because that's dumb. You know, I think we talked about this last week. Like I said, the Washington and Detroit games, which, like Ben said, they had a comeback opportunity late. They were in all of these games. You know, that Patriots game was 31-17. I feel like that's a little – I think it's a little wider of a margin than how that game felt through the bulk of it. And it is easily correctable mistakes. My issue is that we're 11 games in. If we were having easily correctable mistakes after, say, 5 games, cool, man, they're going to fix them. This – and Cobb said this a few weeks ago, this team feels different. And to me, this is one of the ways this feels different. I have zero faith they're going to correct these mistakes 11 games in. This has always been one of those, like, they'll come out the gate, 3-2, 2-3, a little lazy, and then suddenly everything starts clicking. I've been waiting for everything to start clicking since after that Niners game. They had they had that really good, tremendous ending in that San Francisco game. Then they had the bye, and then obviously two tough opponents in LA and New England. And those mistakes cropped up again. I mean, the Rams one is a huge example of that, with that the Montgomery flub that kind of cost them a win. But it's all of these little things that just have not been corrected, and it's 11 games into the season at this point, and I just don't see it happening. Beyond that, you know, there's a 2 games away, and the Jets, I think, is a win. The Bears, that's tough. I am chalking that up to a loss. But even if they run the table from here on out, I still don't think they're making it. I still don't feel it, and I think they're going to lose at least one of these. So now, to me, that's what it comes down to, is it's easily correctable mistakes. They've been in a lot of these games. They've shown zero anything that shows that they're capable of correcting these mistakes.
This may not be fair because it's just the way the coin was flipped, but I profoundly agree with everything Dusty just said. So point and win goes to Dusty. Was saying all of that, I saw a tweet that lays out what the Packers have to do to make a wild card spot. In addition to winning all 5 of their remaining games, they need 4 of these 5 different things to happen. 4 out of 5 things. Eagles have to lose 1. The Seahawks have to lose 2. The Panthers have to lose 2. The Redskins have to lose 2. And the Vikings have to lose 3. Like, there's no way that 4 of those things happens.
Someone's going to know this. I'm blanking on it right now. But there was a situation that happened with a few years back where that happened going to the last day of the season. It was like they needed – I can't remember what – it was like the Ravens or something. Needed 4 games to break their way. And then they did, and then they missed their game-winning field goal, and they didn't make it anyway. I feel like the Chargers snuck in that year.
Is that what's going to happen now? Like, the Packers are going to win their next 4, and then just totally, Oh my goodness.
You would think so, and then at the last minute, Nate Poole's gonna show up out of nowhere and just a touchdown pass, and everyone's gonna lose their minds.
Oh man. Love it. Love it. All right. Ben, you fought valiantly on your first coin toss, and my hat's off to you.
I appreciate it. That, man, that some of those are pretty hard to defend.
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty.
I can't say that I blame you, though, on that last one. I would have went with Dusty also. Again, I'm all for being optimistic. You know, I think we're going to win every game. Shoot, yeah. But realistically, going to Chicago, playing that team, I don't know. It's there's just too many things that have to happen in order for the Packers to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and at this point, we're 0-6, so going to the New York Jets, I don't feel confident in. Like, this is a serious, serious problem on the road. I don't get it. All right, guys, you sent in some Twitter questions. We're going to answer them. We've got 8 of them this week. That makes me happy. Let's get to them. The first one we have is from Jay Nault. That's at JSD72. Says, this is a good one. Is this 2005 Redux gutted roster, miserable aging quarterback, and a coach whose message is no longer resonating? Is Mike Pettine the new Jim Bates? I freaking love that. Is the next coach the next McCarthy in that he'll be able to retool Rodgers? Referring to McCarthy coming in and retooling Brett Favre and helping turn his career around. Whew, a lot to unpack there. Dusty, why don't you take the reins on this one?
I don't like hearing Jim Bates' name. So
he had a good couple years. Come on.
He had a good couple years, but all I remember is the later years before he had to be put down. And I don't like hearing Jim Bates' name. But I mean, man, listen, this question came up. We're talking about this before the show. I hadn't thought of it until this came in. There are a ridiculous amount of parallels here. Like, it's not the exact same situation, but holy God, it is close. It is very, very close. So, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, it does seem like, you know, speaking of Rodgers, it does seem like, I don't know, he's kind of checked out. He doesn't seem like the Rodgers that we have been following for a very long time. I do think that regardless of what they've done with the offense, that he doesn't really buy McCarthy's message anymore. I mean, I do think that's kind of part of what some of this is. So, yeah, I mean, it is kind of weird to look at all those things and say it's not as far off as I would like it to be, I don't think.
All right. Anything to add to that?
It's kind of hard for me to remember the 2005 season soon as, I mean, I think I was 10 years old, maybe.
Get out.
I hate to make you guys feel old.
Get out of here.
I had, while you was talking, I had to actually Google who Jim Bates was.
Oh, my goodness.
That's bad. I know I'm showing, you know, I don't want to make anyone feel old.
25 years old. Get out of here, Ben.
Oh, man. That's not something I was expecting to hear. Jim Bates
that is sobering.
Jim Bates in his day, man, he was one heck of a defensive coordinator. He definitely couldn't hack it as a head coach, but he had some really good defenses. And they played with a mean streak. And that's where I kind of think the comparison with Pettine comes in. Like, they played with attitude and they got after quarterbacks. He had some fun defense as well.
I get it. I do get it. It's just, it's like a reflex. I hear Jim Bates' name. Like, it's you know, different scenario. So, like, bring up Jim Bates or Ray Rhodes and I just start dry heaving. It's just, I can't stop it. It's just something that happens to my body.
Bates is not on the same level of that for me.
He's not, but my brain is the same.
The biggest beef I have with him is that when he left, he handpicked his successor, and he gave it to his assistant, Bob Sanders, who just destroyed everything that Jim had built here. Mm-hmm. Like, we went from a really good defense to a decent defense, then Bates leaves, and it just went out the window. It was like Dom Capers last year. It was bad. It was really bad. He had no idea what he was doing. All right. We've got another question here. Ben, you can take the reins on this one. It's from Doric Packers fan. That is at Doric Packers fan, regular question asker. So thank you. So he says, if doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results means you're crazy, who's crazier, Mike McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers? Ben, who's crazier?
Easy on that one. It's Mike McCarthy, especially when it comes to play calling on third down. And that's kind of been the point of emphasis for a lot of fans all year. I mean, a third down, an easy third and two, third and one, you know, a 6-7 man box, and we're going four verts. You know, and there's just no fluidity to the play calling. And we just, it's not just once, you know, we see it almost every single week. And I don't know if he's seeing a matchup, but you know, you got Aaron Jones in the backfield, even Jamal Williams, you know, getting in 21 personnel, 20 personnel, hand the ball off and get the first down and just keep the chains moving. And it's not only there, even in the pass game, you know, on a first down play call or a second and medium, we're still trying to air it out, you know, against an ad coverage. That's been something that's driving me absolutely insane this year, against an ad coverage. And that's kind of been the Packers. It's been one of the hardest places for them to adjust to when they're playing, when the defense is playing man coverage. You know, we're running digs, we're running comebacks, curls, you know, why not run a little mesh concept? A little rub route. You have to create open players. And we're just not seeing it this year. And frankly, we haven't seen the last 3 years. So McCarthy, easily on that one.
As far as McCarthy's concerned, you might as well have been speaking Portuguese that entire time, Ben.
I mean, the maddening thing to me, Ben, fellow film person, is that that mesh stuff. I mean, I've seen them do some fairly inventive stuff with mesh stuff this year. It's stuff they have in their playbook. One of the things I've been really excited about them is that they have kind of mixed up a lot of their formations. And they have, like, they'll trot out there in like a third and two, like you said, in like a tightly packed formation where you maybe got like one wide, and you got, you know, a bunch of guys playing off the line, and there's nothing that's just, so you've got the whole defense just bunched up in the middle, just exactly how you intend them to. They're all bunched up in the middle, and there's not a single crossing pattern. There's no like crossing drags. There's no mesh stuff whatsoever. Like, you've got this perfect setup where you've got the defense where you want them. And then you just fire them out in all directions. I do like some of the stuff the offense has been doing this year, but you pack them in tight and then you make zero effort, even when you know it's a man, to do anything to try to knock someone off, to create any rubs. It's maddening.
Yeah. Dusty, 30 seconds or less. Explain what you mean by mesh.
The mesh is kind of like a you kind of bring people in tight. I call it dueling drags, where from left side and right side, you kind of get these drags crossing each other. That, you know, separated by a yard or two, that the intention is one more aspect of this. The intention of that is to, if it's a man, you know, it's a natural rub. You can knock a guy off. Where if it's in zone, you kind of spread them out. If you've got, say, two linebackers, you got one that maybe hitches out a little wide on either side to pick up the drag on the other side. And then behind it, you're dragging a guy from the slot kind of over the top as a dig that kind of maybe will sit in the middle of that zone. And so if it's man, you're knocking people off. If it's zone, you're creating space. You're basically creating these little windows to hit guys quickly and in time. That's your, without saying too much, I've written about it a little more and I've kind of drawn it up a little more with kind of a mesh and how the Packers have used that. But that's in my somewhat uneducated voice. That's what a mesh is. Ben, how did I do?
Well, Dusty is the pass game expert. So anything he says is golden. I'm all in on that.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dusty. All right. We've got another one from the Packers Sheriff. Whew. All right. That's at Packers Sheriff. What do you guys think is most important in Packers' next head coaching hire? And who are five names, realistic or not, that particularly interest you? So, Dusty, why don't you take that first part? What do you think is most important? And then we'll try to crowdsource five names together.
I mean, it's offense, right? It's two things. It's an offensive minded coach who actually knows how to run a team. So someone who's been around the game for a while, whether, you know, maybe a college game, maybe he's been assistant, someone who's kind of come up that kind of knows what they're doing and also kind of knows what it is to be a head coach. But I say someone offensive minded, just the way the league is going. I mean, the defenses have been neutered so much to an extent that I think having someone more inventive at offense is better than having someone more inventive on defense.
Fair enough. Ben, did you have anything you wanted to add real quick before we get to names?
Yeah, I just, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with what Dusty said because, you know, I think of Tampa Bay in 2002 and prior to 2002 when Tony Dungy was the head coach. He's a Tampa 2 guy. He was a coordinator in Minnesota. He worked at Kansas City and Pittsburgh, and he was a very, very good defensive coordinator. He was a good head coach. I mean, it's a Hall of Fame head coach, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, once Dungy leaves Tampa and they bring in John Gruden, you know, an offensive mastermind, that just takes them to the next level and they win a Super Bowl. So I agree. The next head coach needs to be – the way the football is going right now needs to be an offensive guy.
They did win a Super Bowl with the help of knowing what the calls were going to be because Callahan didn't change the offensive playbook from when Gruden was there. That was big, but he still had to get to the Super Bowl to use that.
Yes.
Good point. Oh,
man. All right. So names. Guys, I'll start with one that I've heard around, and let me know what you think. What about Pete Carmichael, offensive coordinator of the Saints?
Yeah, I've got like three names on my list, and he's one of them. I honestly don't know enough about him, but I was looking at assistants who have been on the offensive side for a long time.
He's been there a long time.
Yeah, since 2009, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He's kind of number one on my list right now.
I might agree with that. I don't know if there's anyone else that I'd say. And neither of you will probably bring this up, but I'm mentally and emotionally preparing myself for Josh McDaniels.
No.
Ooh, no.
It's not that I want it, but I'm just thinking through it now so that if it happens, I can just be on board.
I kind of am too.
It feels like in Mark Murphy style ways that it makes sense.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know. And like, didn't he work with Gutekunst at one point? Weren't they on the same staff somewhere? Thought they'd work together somewhere.
I did not see that. I've not looked at it up too much, but I did not see that.
I don't know. I know they at least know each other. So you could have him like pushing for it. I'm just, again, not necessarily advocating for it, but I'm mentally preparing myself because I feel like it's somewhat likely.
I mean, the one point I will make is that he is young. He is a very good offensive mind, and he has failed elsewhere before. And so I feel like it's not like a lot of these Belichick assistants obviously have not done well at second stops. But since this would be his second head coaching spot, if he does actually sign instead of saying he's going to sign and then not actually sign and then just make everyone very, very mad. I do think like he's one of the rare ones with just his mind. And as long as he's been around, I think his second go around would go better than his first. At least that's where I'm talking myself into.
All right, Ben, you have a name or two you want to throw out there?
Yeah. And this has kind of been floating around on Twitter. And I think Dusty is actually one of the first people I saw put this out there, but Lincoln Riley out of Oklahoma.
Yes.
At first, I was against it. I was against it at first and said, well, you know, he is kind of new to the college game. He just got an OU. I think 2 years ago they signed him on. You know, he worked at Texas Tech for a little bit, I believe, and worked with Mike Leach a little bit. But I think what they're doing now in the NFL is just transitioning from the college game. We saw, I think yesterday, 2 days ago, Cliff Kingsbury from Texas Tech, you know, he got fired. And I saw a few things saying that a lot of NFL teams have already reached out to him to work with their offense. And if you look at everything that's going on from read option to the RPO, even some triple option, the game is – we're seeing a nice transition from the traditional one-back or two-back offenses with three- and five-step, even seven-step drops going – 80 to 90% the shotgun running the RPO, which has caught on with a lot of teams. I think almost every team in the league probably runs a variation of the RPO. Look at what Philadelphia did.
Yeah.
When Chip Kelly went in there, at first it was a disaster. But now I think with some of these draft picks coming up and with these guys who have been running this stuff in college for a number of years now coming up in the league, we're seeing a nice transition. And Lincoln Riley at OU has just revived that whole program. Under Bob Stoops, he was the offensive coordinator, and they made a nice little transition from, you know, a lot of under center stuff that they ran early in 2010 and 2011. And then when Riley came in, the offense just exploded. Look what he did with Baker Mayfield. I mean, we see him in the Rose Bowl. We see him in the Big 12 Championship again this year. And I think I would just love to see what he could do with Aaron Rodgers, what he could do with the personnel that the Packers have. I think, you know, somebody deserves a shot. I think it deserves to be him.
All right. We've got through three. We need two more to make Packers Sheriff happy. Who's got one? Yeah.
I'll say Riley is like the Carmichael's like 1A, Riley's 1B, just because I think, yeah, I think Riley is going to be a head coach, or he's going to be in the NFL sooner rather than later. And I think he's going to do amazing things. I kind of want to get on that boat, man. I'm glad you came around, Ben. I've got two. Since Ben just went college, you know what? I'm going to go college too. I was going to switch it up, but I'm not. I didn't pronounce his last name. Matt Rhule, I believe, out of Baylor head coach. He kind of came in on the back of the on the Art Briles mess. And I mean, that team is not amazing this year, but based on all the people that kind of like decommitted from all that and the mess that was in, to the point where, I mean, that program, I like watching Baylor. That program probably should have got the death sentence. Just based on all the stuff that was going on out there. It's just ridiculous, disgusting, terrible things. But it didn't, and Rhule's kind of stepped in. I think he's done. I think they finished season 6-6, if I'm not mistaken, which is not amazing. But I kind of like what he did there. He seems like a guy, you know, relatively young. And I think – I don't know. My only thing is I don't know if he's ready yet. I think he's going to be a name at some point. But he seems like the kind of guy – he knows what he's doing. He seems like he has his head on straight, kind of an even keeled guy from what I've seen. I don't know. I like him quite a bit. So I'm going to put him, he'd probably be number, I don't know, four or five on my list, but I don't know. I'd be fine with him.
Okay. We need one more.
DeFilippo.
You really want to go DeFilippo?
It was a question. I asked a question. I don't know if you guys want to go DeFilippo.
I'm anti DeFilippo, but if you've got a case for him, go for it.
I don't really. Can we talk about guys we don't want, which is Harbaugh and Arians are the two guys I absolutely don't want that I've seen connected to this team?
I'm not so opposed to Arians as you are, but Harbaugh, you can say Jim or John. I have no interest in either of them being our head coach.
Both like, of them.
If you wanted to hire John as the special teams coordinator and Jim as like the offensive coordinator, not even like quarterbacks coach or something, like go for it. But no, either one of those at head coach, especially John. Like if I had to make a choice, I would take Jim over John, and it's not even close. But yeah, neither of those two.
Here's a question for you guys. Is there anyone on staff you'd like to see promoted
to head coach? No.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe.
Is it Aaron Rodgers, Ben?
No, like the only thing I could think would be Mike Pettine, but he doesn't want to do it. Yeah. And I'd rather just keep him where he is.
You know, as crazy as it sounds, I'm almost tempted to say Winston Moss.
That's who I'd go to as an interim if McCarthy lost his job, but I don't know about full time.
That's kind of where I'm at, because, you know, I would like to see how he would do, you know, 17 weeks out of a season. His demeanor towards the media definitely would have to change, first of all.
No, that's the one thing he needs to keep.
He's the same way as Mike McCarthy. What's the issue here?
Yeah.
I love his approach to defense, though. I listened to him once give a clinic talk, and very, very smart coach, very, very good defensive coach. He's a 3-4 guy. And so, yeah, you know, maybe somebody will give him a shot. I really don't see it happening in Green Bay, but if I had to pick anyone, that would definitely be it.
You want to grab he had a bad year in college. I like him as a coach. Scott Frost out of Nebraska. it's never going to happen. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I don't know. Like you said, he had a bad year in college, but I don't know. Like in college, it's hard to tell how much of that is his fault. Honestly, I couldn't say enough one way or another about him.
Yeah, I like what he's, you know, what he's brought to Nebraska. I mean, they've had a tough year this year, but I think overall he's a really smart coach. I like kind of the stuff they're doing, but the Big Ten's pretty decent this year, and a lot of that in college, again, comes back to recruiting. I mean, once he gets his guys in place, you know, like Nick Saban at Michigan State, once he finally got his guys, they started to compete. So,
yeah, that's the thing. Frost's first year in Nebraska wasn't great. That's kind of what I'm going off of. And the fact that he kind of even demeanor throughout the year, he seems like he knows what he's doing. College is a different game, like you said. It's like 2 to 3 years. I mean, I live in Kentucky. When Stoops took over, it was like 3 to 4 years before they were good. You need those recruits to kind of come in and produce. But, yeah, I don't know. The more I thought about it, the more I'm kind of in on Frost, I think.
But then when he was at UCF, though, I mean, that team, that was a dang good team.
Yeah, it was. That offense was dynamite. They had talent because he could recruit. But, I mean, it was really that offense was just tremendous to watch. So the I haven't heard, you know, I honestly, I just came up with it right now. But the more I think about it, the more I think Frost is the man. Just hire Frost. I don't know what his contract looks like, but buy it out. Frost, number one on the list.
Fair enough. I'll be the obligatory person every time we talk about a head coaching opening in Green Bay and bring up Kirk Ferentz out of Iowa. Just every freaking time somebody's got to bring him up. No. All right, moving on.
Favre on the market or what's going on?
Favre's on the market, man. Okay. Question from, remember when Bobby Boucher turned up at halftime? That is at @E_burger. He says, let's say the Packers win out, get some help, and make the playoffs as a sixth seed. How far would the Packers have to go in the playoffs for you to want the Packers to keep McCarthy? And I will start really quick by just saying Super Bowl, at least a Super Bowl appearance. Anyone disagree with that?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, anything less than that, been there, done that, no, got to go.
So if they make the NFC Championship game and lose in heartbreaking fashion, it's the same as it ever was. So, yeah, Super Bowl or bust.
Super Bowl or bust. At least have to make it. All right, cool. Matthew Whalen. Here we go. Matthew_Whalen said, what's stopping the Packers from salvaging the season and figuring things out? The talent is there, and they play well in spurts. What do they need to do to win out and start winning games in general? Dusty.
Just like play better and make better coaching decisions. It's really pretty easy. The defense has been fine for what it is with the injuries. That's going to hurt them. Offense needs to click. I mean, they've been just a hair off all season. I've been waiting for it to click. I don't think it will be, but if they start clicking, obviously it's a very dangerous offense. They've got the pieces there. They could make some noise. But really, man, like some of the decision making and the special team stuff. Like there's just. They got to overcome just dumb special teams mistakes at terrible, terrible times and just make better coaching calls, which it's McCarthy. And he's been doing this for a while, so that's not going to change. So they just – like McCarthy has to do – what did he say after this past week? I have to coach better. He needs to do that. He just needs to do that, and then they'll be okay.
Yeah, but it's not just, for me, his in-game coaching. It's his entire philosophy of – you know, these big five-step drops on third down and five, and it's long developing routes, and it's let's talk about what Aaron's progressions are. They start with deep balls. It's all a philosophy, and it can't possibly change in time for them to salvage this season. It's something that needs probably more than an entire off season of altering in order for this to actually start working. So, yeah.
Listen, Ben, you've coached, and Grant, it was, you know, it was it JUCO, Ben? Where'd you coach?
I coached at the high school level, but it's 5A level, which is
okay.
Pretty big for here, but, and then some smaller schools, and so, yeah.
So I imagine your playbook was way more simplified than, say, you know, where it is at the NFL level. But since you're the coach that we've got at the moment, let me ask you. So if you've got something, say, with the Packers, even this week, you've got, you know, possibly Bakhtiari out, or you've got something that maybe you've installed early in the season that isn't quite working, and you just keep doing it anyway because it's already in the season, it's too hard to change. realistically speaking, Ben, how hard is it to change something once you've got a season going? Like if it's something like involving, I don't know, schematic issues or personnel issues, mm-hmm. something, how big of a switch is that?
Personally, I think it's a pretty big switch. It's hard, especially in, you know, like the structure of practices. Basically, you know, what you're doing in practice, you have to scrap half of it, and then it's just you have to teach all over again. I mean, they're running stuff that they installed at training camp or mini camp even. And yeah. So to maybe cut some of it out would be all right, but to just retool everything would be pretty difficult.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, agreed. That's – yeah, all right.
Cool. All right, guys. Pigskin Man, that's at Pigskin Man. This is Packard Buckaroo. He completely disagrees with us here. He says the fire McCarthy stuff is ridiculous. The game passed him by dopes sound like the Philly fans forced out Andy Reid. Spent the least on free agency of any team in the NFC over the last 3 years. Two of the last three drafts have been abysmal. It's the roster. He doesn't seem to think that McCarthy deserves any of the blame. Ben, how do you feel about that?
I would just tell him to, you know, watch, you know, you got to watch the film. And I know it's kind of cliche, but that's all you need to know about it because, you know, you can have any personnel on the field. But, you know, when you're kind of like we've been talking about a little bit tonight, when you're trying to, you know, chuck it deep on third and short, I don't blame that on personnel. I blame that on the head coach. And, you know, mm-hmm. I like McCarthy. I think McCarthy is a good, you know, I don't think he's just a guy who doesn't have any idea what he's doing. I think he knows right. what he's doing. He's just has become too comfortable with his system. And,
yep.
you know, I would agree to the point where the game has probably passed him by a little bit. When, you know, speaking of Andy Reid, when Andy Reid went to Kansas City, he was a traditional West Coast guy who adapted mm-hmm. to yep. the new spread RPO exactly. system with Matt Nagy. So we need to see that with McCarthy, and he might be a little stubborn to do so.
Yep. Sometimes they just have to – they have to switch places. Like, Andy Reid was never going to make that change staying in Philadelphia. It was never going to happen. He had to go. It worked out for him. He's done well. It worked out for Philadelphia. They have since won a Super Bowl, but it was never going to happen with those two mm-hmm. anymore. Like, it had just passed him by. Any additional thoughts, Dusty?
Yeah, no, about the same. I mean, it's. I don't know if the game. I said, it's not like he suddenly became a bad coach. I think if he goes somewhere else, he's going to be fine. I don't think he's suddenly like he's a dinosaur and he can't do anything. I do think mm-hmm. he has to adapt a little. And like you said, I think he's gotten a little comfortable and he's gotten, you know, he has enough power now to where, you know, no matter who they brought in Philbin. And my thought with Philbin brought in that I was said in the offseason was, it's someone that he knows, and that's good because maybe he's willing to listen to more things now, which I think he did. I mean, I think it shows in the offense. I mean, they're running stuff that, you know, they haven't run in a mm-hmm. very long time. They have switched up a whole bunch. Like, their route combos are – they've done a lot of really good stuff with that, whereas I think if they brought in, like, a college guy, he just would have been this hotshot guy. You know, I'm not gonna run this. I think he's at a point with the Packers where he has the power to do that. So, I mean, it's on McCarthy but I don't think that means he's a bad coach. I think he's just gotten comfortable. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if McCarthy gets fired this offseason and goes somewhere else and is successful there. And, you know, I have no hard feelings against the guy whatsoever. But I think it's one of those things. What was it, Walsh? Bill Walsh said basically 10 years.
Yep.
10 years about what you got mm-hmm. with an NFL franchise, yep. and it's 13 right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, it doesn't hold all the time, but it's – I mean, it does kind of seem like whether his voice or something's going on, and it's hard not to point it back at McCarthy.
Yeah. And now I'll say the roster is not, especially on offense, as talented as it was 3 or 4 years ago when you had, you know, Nelson and Cobb and Driver and like all these fantastic receivers running up and down the field. But the problem is, it's not like we have just crappy wide receivers. We've got talent yeah. at the position, but he's running the same offense with completely different players, and he's not adjusting to the talent that he has. He's not using Trevor Davis to his strengths. He throws guys out there and says, here, run the same routes that, you know, Jordy Nelson used to. Like, they're not Jordy Nelson. They can't do that. You have to adjust your offense to the players that you have. And even with lesser talent, which was what they have, I will grant you that, even with lesser talent, you can still have an effective offense. You know, like, look at the look at the Minnesota Vikings, especially last year. Like, look who they had at quarterback and how well he was performing. Like, you get the right system, you get the right adjustments to the players that you have, and you can have success. McCarthy hasn't made any of those adjustments. He uses Jimmy Graham the same way he uses Mercedes Lewis, and that just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I'll grant you the talent isn't what it was, but there's still talent there, and the head coach doesn't know how to or refuses to adjust his approach based on who he has. Okay, Kent Carwile says, with injuries to Graham, Cobb, St. Brown, and GMO on the IR, is there any reason to sign another pass catcher? And while you're at it, is there anyone out there you would like to have? I'll add to that. So, Ben, anything on that?
Oh, you know, really, I don't. At this point in the season, really, I personally wouldn't sign anybody or could think of anyone to sign. You know, there is depth at the position. It just isn't where it should be right now. From a money standpoint, I'm not really sure where the Packers stand on that. But, you know, it maybe if the price is right, yeah, you know, why not, you know, sign somebody. But I don't see it happening, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd personally just go with promoting guys at this point. If we were in a playoff push, I'd answer differently, but we're not. So, you know, try Kumaro. Why not? Does see anything?
No, I mean, yeah, at this point, I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. It's very unlikely they're going to make the playoffs, which we already kind of talked about. There's no point. You get the only way I could see doing that is if they have enough injuries that they are forced to sign somebody because they have two healthy wide receivers, which based on some of the stuff that happened this past week, hey, maybe that's true. Because I think St. Brown and Moore both left at some point. But no, I don't. Man, listen, go 2 to 3 wide receivers every single time and split Aaron Jones out before you sign another wide receiver. I don't see much reason for it.
Agreed. All right. Last one, the Godfather, that's at Green Bay Mafia 13, writer at Pack to the Future, does some good stuff. He says, I believe Aaron Rodgers' arm is not the same after his collarbone injury. Do you think his arm will ever be the same after his injury, or will he have to find a way to make it work like Drew Brees did? Dusty.
I've been watching him because it was one of my fears in the offseason was that they signed with this big deal and I was excited, but also that maybe his arm was never going to be the same because you don't always got to respond to that. I don't know, man. Velocity's still there. I think he doesn't trust it as much as he probably should. But listen, man, that bomb to Allison that in that Bears game at the beginning of the fourth quarter of that Bears game, week one, off of one leg, that's pure arm talent, and that's Aaron Rodgers. We've seen him make throws. I think the velocity's still there, the zip's still there, the release is still there. I don't know that he trusts it enough, and I don't know. I think that's just a mental thing. It's almost like a, you know, they say it takes you almost like a year to come back from an ACL injury as a quarterback, but another year to kind of get back from it mentally a lot of times. I think it's almost that. I think it's almost he feels more limited than he actually is. I still see the same live arm that I've seen. I do think that he needs to focus more this offseason on fundamentals. I think he's got enough arm talent. He can throw off his back foot, and there are cases when he should. That doesn't mean he needs to when he has a clean pocket every time he needs to drive it. So I think that needs to be something he needs to do this offseason if he's going to focus in to get those fundamentals, to throw from the same base unless he's forced not to. But no, I think his arm is fine. Honestly, his arm is better than I thought it was going to be at this point.
All right, Ben, anything to add?
Yeah, I'll just kind of echo what Dusty said. And you know, football is a mental game, especially at the quarterback position. You know, watching Rodgers on film this year, his arm to me looks fine. Mm-hmm. We have seen some throws, you know, those fourth and short throws where he threw the ball in the dirt. You know, just little things needs to tweak. And getting back to the fundamentals, like Dusty said, is huge. Mm-hmm. I remember when McCarthy used to put the guys through his quarterback camp during the off season, which has gone by the wayside because of the collective bargaining agreement and so forth. But just the things that they did in that setting is something I think would be good for him to get back to, you know, working on the drops, working on, you know, release timing, everything. His timing with guys has been off this year, but I blame most of that on the young receivers, not so much Aaron Rodgers.
Fair enough. Guys, that is all we have for this episode. Huge thank you to Ben for joining us this week and taking over for John. Stay tuned for next week's episode where he's going to be filling in for John again. And yeah, thank you for listening. We'll see you again on Friday.